This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, ESPN App, Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear the via, not appear the via, just appear via the. See, I reversed the order of those two words, Raj, if you notice. Appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Reach us at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. And the Max Kellerman Show is brought to you by Shell Motor Oils. Pennzoil's synthetic motor oils are made from natural gas. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. When I say those letters and numbers all put together, Raj, I feel like when I'm talking the same language when you tell it to me about Messi.
Apparently, well, speaking of Messi, yeah, why are you burying the lead? You know, Messi's going to be leaving Barcelona, he says. Yeah. And guess where he wants to go, Max?
There could only be one destination.
That's right. He wants to go to Man U. But tell me what SAE 5W30 is. You know what that is? All right, move along.
All right, look. Man U, you're just making stuff up now. Why is it that soccer fans get so offended when you point out that it's boring? Like, put it this way. Baseball is boring. I know it. I love baseball. It's exciting to me because I grew up with it. I like baseball. It's my favorite team sport. Notice we don't really talk about it on the radio or on TV that much. Know why? It's an inferior consumer product to basketball and football. It's a fact. Oh, it's your opinion. My opinion is it's my favorite. But if I want to analyze it, I have to admit basketball and football are superior products. More exciting. But if you sell that to a soccer fan, why can't soccer fans just say, look, I grew up with it. I love it. Or I came to it later, but it appeals to me for whatever reason. But yes, I could see if you want to analyze it. Of course, it's, you know, it's a primitive form of basketball. Basketball to soccer, and then I'm going to get on to LeBron James. Basketball to soccer is like soccer is monkey and basketball is man. It is the evolution of soccer. You know, people look and they say, what do we have to run up and down on a 100-yard field for? Because on TV, it looks like they're running really slowly. We shorten the field of play and we go much more up and down action. And on TV, it's a TV consumer sport. You know, they're going up and down fast, more interesting to watch. Who says that because we have opposable thumbs and it's more difficult to use our feet to manipulate objects, we don't use our hands to show the skill with our feet? Why not use our hands? We do, after all, have opposable thumbs. Even the sound of dribbling a ball is more satisfying than, like, you know, just kicking a soccer ball. Then who says we have to put the goal on the ground? Let's show athletic ability, athleticism. Let's put it up in the air. Why not? It's just better. And also, why have a goalie whose job it is to stop people from scoring? People like scoring. Take away the goalie. In fact, if you block the goal, it's goaltending. We're going to count it as 2 points anyway, or maybe three. It's the evolution of soccer. By the way, so is football. Read Sal Palantonio's book, How Football Explains America. It's an answer to Franklin Fuhr's book, How Soccer Explains the World. And I really like Sal Pal's book. It's I think he's on the money. And basically, the reason I bring it up is because, you know, the deans of Ivy League schools are like, why aren't anyone coming to these soccer matches? Let's change the rules. The rules committee still exists to this day. Let's make it something awesome. And they did. So, like, I don't know what it is about soccer fans who have to insist that it's just as exciting as football, basketball. Just admit it. You like it better. No one's holding that against you. There's a reason it's not talked about all over the airwaves. Same reason as baseball. Not as good. All right, look. I want to play you some LeBron James sound from the post-game presser. Don't forget, Kobe Bryant, a Mamba Day yesterday, 8-24. The Lakers at one point led 24-8, and they demolished the Blazers. Instead of a 2-2 series, it's 3-1. What a way to honor Kobe on Mamba Day. Here's LeBron James.
It's been an honor to just put on the Laker uniform, even before the passing of the great Kobe Bryant. And tonight was another one of those moments for myself, for this organization. of all the players that was able to wear those uniforms, that was inspired by him and his mind and his creativity. And one day removed from his birthday, and then his day of 8/24 to be able to have a game on this day, the stars aligned. I did notice that we were up 24-8 because I'm always trying to figure out what's going on throughout the course of the game. I'm always looking if we're up, if we're down, what's the team fouls and all of that nature. And when I looked up there and seen 24-8, I was like, okay, he's here in the building. So, you know, it's a beautiful, beautiful night for our franchise. And it's something that we probably will always remember.
Look, no one could argue anyone against Jordan. He reigned, you know, he towered above contemporaries. But you could argue Shaq and Duncan. Kobe only won one regular season MVP. In LeBron's, at his best, no one really competed with him. But regular season, you know, guys like KD and Steph and James Harden started to challenge him for those MVPs. And the super team with KD started beating him for the championship. But in a larger way. Because, you know, like, there's a reason big men, centers, don't sell sneakers, right? They're hard to identify with. And they're not ball handlers. And they're not, you know, they can't go get their own shot quite the same way. And they're not almost never the face of the league, right? As charismatic as Shaq was. Or even a guy as charismatic as Embiid now, or as productive as Kareem was once upon a time. In the imagination of the basketball public, the torch was passed from Michael Jordan to Kobe Bryant to LeBron James. So, I mean, listen, at Kobe's funeral, at his service at Staples Center, why did Jordan get up and talk? Because he feels the same thing the rest of us feels. Like, Kobe is like son of Jordan. And in a way, it's the same thing, Kobe to LeBron, even though LeBron's kind of mentality is a little different than Kobe and Michael's. But still, in that kind of larger way, he took the torch from Kobe as the face of the league, as the league's best player. And he's aware of it. And now he's playing for the Lakers. And what a way to honor Kobe. Damian in L.A., you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
I've been listening to you long enough to know that you're doing just fine. So I wanted to share my fondest Kobe memory, mine and my son's. It was season opener, Kobe's last year. You, Raj, and he who shall not be named, broadcasting outside of Tom's Urban.
Well, you can name Marcellus. Marcelo Wise, you can name him.
No, that's my guy, man.
Yeah.
We got the privilege to meet you guys, me and my son.
Yes,
and I shared with my son the story of you and your daughter Esther, of how, you know, always remember the day that you got to see Kobe Bryant play.
Damian, so hold on one second.
Yeah.
What Damian's referring to is I took my daughter Esther to a Yankees game at Anaheim at the Angels Park, and Derek Jeter and Mariano Rivera were in the game, and Andy Pettit was in this game, and they were all about to retire. And I pointed them out to her, and she was maybe 3 years old, 4 years old, who knew? But I wanted to make sure she had a memory of this. So I'd say, Esther, look at that. That's Mariano Rivera. That's the greatest who ever did it. Always remember the day that you saw him pitch. And so, Damian, you're saying you did the same with your son and Kobe. Where's Damian?
What brings the most joy to me is last week, me and my son are driving around. Now, he was about 8 years old at that time, just, you know, roughly 4 years ago. And the joy I felt when we heard you on the radio again, and my son was like, oh, is that Max Kellerman? Yes, man. I remember the day I saw Kobe Bryant play was the day I met Max Kellerman. I wanted to share that with you. One of my deepest, fondest memories. We love you. We're glad we have you back on the radio on the West
Coast. Thank you, brother.
Rumble, young man, rumble.
That's it. Mariano Rivera, Kobe Bryant, and me. What was that game they used to play on Sesame Street? Which one of us isn't the same? Which one of us doesn't belong? Anyway, so much of sports is that. It's the generational memories. You know, how much of that is a demarcation of time? Yeah, always remember the day. I'm sure there's so many parents out there with kids, so many kids who were told by their parent, that's Kobe Bryant. and have that stuck in their mind. And we thought we'd have them around in the world for many more decades, and it didn't turn out to be. Everyone's asking if Earl Thomas will be a Cowboy. I want to know. Let me tell you what I want to really know. Is he still good? I don't know. He looks good to me, but I don't know. Not as good as he once was, but I think he's still good. Sharp Analytics' Warren Sharp is coming up next to tell me if he's actually really still good. Not to mention Aaron Rodgers and Carson Wentz. I got questions. Everyone, listen up. DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports, is celebrating the return of sports by giving away up to $100 million in prizes to all of their customers, including one lucky winner who will take home a $1 million cash prize. To claim your share of up to $100 million in instant giveaways, all you have to do is download the app and sign up using promo code MAX. Then enter DraftKings free football survivor pool. It's that easy to claim your share of up to $100 million in instant giveaways and put yourself in the running to win a $1 million cash prize. And don't forget to check out all of the great daily fantasy contests DraftKings is hosting for this week's basketball and golf action. I got into DraftKings on basketball, too. That's a lot of fun. It really is. Download the DraftKings app now and use promo code MAX to claim your share of $100 million. Speaking of Marcellus Wiley, boy, that took off, took over our lives for a while. We didn't talk to people in our families. You just play. The main thing was to beat each other, you know? Like, if I knew he was going to beat me that day, I didn't want to go to work the next day. Anyway, up to $100 million in instant giveaways, and put yourself in the running for the $1 million cash top prize. That's promo code MAX to get your share of $100 million in prizes only at DraftKings. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Warren Sharp of Sharp Analytics coming up to tell me what is real in the NFL right now, who's actually still good and who's not. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
The passion is back.
I would argue that considering all that's happened, a championship this year might mean more than any other, not less.
Greeny is back. Weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN News.
Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker, presented by Progressive Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. On the Max Kellerman Show, you will hear from clearly entertaining people, and also the smart people, and hopefully they're the same people. And I want to welcome in now. This is where, sometimes before I go on First Take, I have a theory about something. If I really want to know, wait, am I just way off base? Because maybe it's counterintuitive, or I check in with this dude, Warren Sharp of Sharp Analytics, via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Warren, you there?
I'm here, Max.
Excellent. Thank you for joining me. I want to jump right into it because they're telling me I got a hard out in 6 minutes. So I have a lot of questions. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Let's go.
Okay. Earl Thomas. Boy, he must have been a problem for them to release him because I think he's still good. Not maybe what he once was, but I think he's still good. Am I right? Am I wrong? How good is Earl Thomas right now?
Earl Thomas is still a major difference maker because he's still very good from the passing perspective. He's not nearly as good of a tackler and helping in run support as maybe he was when he was younger, but he's still exceptional when it comes to pass coverage and helping the defense defend passing. And as you know, quarterbacks and offenses, it's the passing game that drives efficiency. And so if you've got a pass defense that can help slow that down, that's much more valuable than a run defense. He still is a big-time difference maker.
So for them to let him go and not even knowing if they can recoup that money, what does that mean going on behind the scenes? Warren, if you were an NFL team that needed help in your secondary, would you sign Earl Thomas?
It's a great question. Some of those details are certainly murky, but certain ones are pretty obvious. I mean, a lot of people didn't realize how bad it was, but you posting practice video of the Baltimore Ravens running four verts out of pistol from 22 personnel. People out there don't necessarily understand. 22 personnel is a heavy grouping, two tight ends, two running backs out on the field. There was a fullback out on the field, only one wide receiver out there. They were lined up in pistol formation, definitely giving the appearance of a run play to the defense, and they ended up sending all four players, eligible receivers, vertical on the field, keeping the back who was lined up in pistol into pass block. That's very rarely done. And Earl Thomas tweeted that or posted it up on Instagram. That is a colossal no-no in addition to punching his teammate, showing up to practice late. In this offseason, it's also really interesting because now he's out of the bubble, so to speak. So he's going to have to be, I would imagine, like quarantined to some capacity before he comes into a new facility. I don't know exactly how that process even is going to work, but certainly it's giving a team like the Cowboys pause. The Cowboys think that they've got a championship caliber roster, but they don't want to disturb any of the locker room presence and leadership that's going on there. I would look to add him because he is such a difference maker, but I don't know that I'd be happy about it. And certainly maybe what he's asking for contractually from a price perspective is giving people additional pause.
Meantime, Danny Dimes, who looked so promising in his first preseason, and then throughout the year I thought had a promising rookie campaign. But Warren, I go back and forth. Am I wish casting? Am I just hoping that he's turns into this great quarterback? He has a turnover problem. I want to say I read it at Sharp Analytics that he gets everything off play action. If it's not play action, he can't get it done. Is Danny Dimes a good quarterback? Is he going to be a real good NFL quarterback?
Well, the first thing that we have to realize is that he played a below average schedule of opposing pass defenses last year. He's going to play the 10th most difficult schedule of opposing pass defenses this year. But I do think that there were a lot of things that this offense was doing that was not helping him very much whatsoever. I don't think they were looking at the analytics enough to know how to use that play action that he was having some success with. They were using too much play action where he was under center and had to turn his back on the defense. He got a lot more out of it when he was just in shotgun faking that ball into Saquon Barkley's belly. I think they need to get the tight end more involved. But these are things I don't love Jason Garrett as an OC, and I think he's too conservative. He calls too many run plays. But I think that there are some things that they're going to be able to do to make Evan Ingram a lot more productive this offseason. So to answer your question about Dimes in the future, I think we still have to give him a little bit of time to see really where he nets out, see if he makes that jump this upcoming season with a new OC in the building. But I'm not willing to write him off completely yet because I think there was problems that he's being charged with that were the result of his play caller.
Oh, what a relief. Because if Warren Sharp, everyone, tells you, no, this guy's no good, believe me, it means he's no good. Oh, thank God. Is Aaron Rodgers still, like, Warren, you could call me stubborn because I'm used to seeing it in days past, years past, but I would take Patrick Mahomes first if I was trying to win a Super Bowl. And I know Russell Wilson, as you can prove that he's outplayed him in recent years, I think I would still take Rodgers second. I think, like, his ceiling is higher than everyone except for Mahomes. Is Rodgers still good? Is he still really good?
I think he's good, yes. Is he really good? I would be leery of saying that. Is he number two? No. No question in my mind. Russell Wilson is there. Russell Wilson is one of the best guys in the league. And then there are some other up-and-coming guys that just have a little bit more gas in the tank than I believe Aaron Rodgers has. I also don't think that, maybe if they had taken the time to surround him with more receiving weapons, they really haven't done that at all in Green Bay, so we're not seeing that there. If they had taken the time to do that over the last couple of years, maybe we wouldn't have seen such a drop-off. Everybody wants to just pin it on Aaron Rodgers, but you've got play callers and you also have talent around him that are helping aid the fact that he is getting less and less efficient. He needs a bounce-back season this year, in my opinion. I think that he's capable of doing that in year two of LaFleur's offense, but I don't think that he's any longer in the discussion of, being up in the top one to two QBs in the NFL. Whoa. But that doesn't mean he's a bad quarterback yet. I just think that there are some other guys that deserve those positions.
I have so many more questions for Warren Sharp. Warren, do you want to plug anything before we let you go? Because I want you back, like, really soon. I need to talk to you about Carson Wentz and a whole bunch of other guys. What would you like to plug while you're on now? And then I want you back real, real soon.
Let's do it again real soon. And I wrote a book. It's 360 pages. You can find it up at sharpfootballanalysis.com. It previews the upcoming 2020 season, breaks down every team, highly suggest everybody goes and picks up a copy of that. But I'm happy to do it again as soon as you're willing, Mac.
What's it called? What's the name of the book?
It's just called The 2020 Football Preview.
Perfect. The 2020 Football Preview. If you actually want to know what's happening, if you want to know actually who's good, who's not, what to think about this stuff, or verify your own opinions or disabuse yourself of some notions, pick it up by Warren Sharp, Sharp Analytics. And you can follow him on Twitter, by the way. I do. It's a great follow. Warren, thanks a million. I'm like, hey, Raj, can we get him back? Like, what day is it today? Is it Tuesday only? I want him back like later in the week. All right. Like, I have football questions. All right. The great Warren Sharp, ladies and gentlemen. No Porzingis tonight. Is that going to be a problem for Luka and the Mavs? Who's under more pressure without Porzingis playing? Kawhi or Paul George? Find out who done maxed up coming up on the Max Kellerman Show.
For him to not complain, to come back on the court and to still compete, I was really impressed by that.
I'm kind of tired of coddling everyone. Like, you had your chance and you spit the bit.
Janae and Golic Jr. Weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio. This is the Max Kellerman Show.
Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker, presented by Progressive Insurance. Reach us at 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. You can check out ESPN Audio at home by telling Alexa to play news from ESPN. ESPN Audio at home is brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Vans. Drive a Mercedes-Benz van and find out how far an extra mile really goes, from customization and service to financial assistance. Mercedes-Benz vans are ready for anything. All right, so now it's time for You Done Maxed Up.
Oh, now you did it.
I think that's wrong.
You Done Maxed Up.
I love corny radio. Can I hear that again? Raj, when did you make that?
Oh, now you did it.
I think that's wrong.
You Done Maxed Up.
You Done Maxed Up. Usain Bolt tests positive for COVID-19 after a mask-free party. World record sprinter and eight-time Olympic gold medalist Usain Bolt has tested positive for coronavirus and is self-isolating at his home in Jamaica after celebrating his 34th birthday with a mask. Usain Bolt's only 34? With a mask-free party last week. Just to be safe, I quarantined myself, he said, and just taking it easy. He said that in a video while lying in bed. Hey, I just want to talk to all the stupid people out there for a second. Stupid people, listen to me. I saw an interesting map on Twitter where they were charting cell phones, where all these cell phones were in Vegas, and now they're spread throughout the country. This is like over the last week. Do you understand what's going to happen now, stupid people? COVID is going to, whatever. Like, any kind of COVID that was in Vegas is now going to spread all throughout the country. That's how it works. Oh, my God. It's unbelievable how, you know, people are like, well, we have to get back to work sometime. There was studies done of the pandemic of 1918, the Spanish flu, and where 50 million people died in a world where there was not even one-third the population today. So it's as though 150 million-plus people died in terms of the percentage of the world population. And what they found in American cities is the ones that fared best, yes, population density was a part of it, but those that shut down early, we shut down late in our country because of inept leadership at the federal level. Those who shut down early and then had the patience to stay shut down, like how long you shut down, that those fared best. They were okay. It's the ones that shut down late and then tried to open early. Like these, you know, geniuses in Texas and in Georgia. Close late, open early. Right. No. So Usain Bolt and everyone else who are having... Look, I know. Sometimes you... this has happened to me already. You get together for a socially distanced play date for your kids, right? But the other people, maybe they have a baby, and then you turn around, all of a sudden, like, even though it's only, let's say, two families involved, all of a sudden it's like, whoa, no one's wearing masks, and why is the baby playing with the kid over here? You got to stay 6 feet away. Like, I experienced that once, and I was like, I can't do this again. So I get that it can happen, but to throw a party, were to have COVID, they have COVID parties. Either the first one could get it in this country, or just to go to bars and not socially distance. That's it. There's no magical, you know, elixir that's going to fix you if you get COVID. And sure, many people recover without too much damage. Some people die, on the other hand. Other people, it doesn't just attack your lungs. It attacks all kinds of organs, and you have brain damage, heart damage, kidney damage. Maybe the best thing, since there's no cure, is to stay socially distanced and wear a mask. Is that that hard? There's a lot of upside. I know economically it's tough. I get it. But there's a lot of upside to social distancing too. You know, when you go into work and you think like, you know, I have a basic positive association with this person. I like seeing them. Then it turns out you socially distance, you shelter in place for a month, and you're like, oh, thank God, I don't have to see that person. It turns out I don't like almost anyone. All the people I thought that were kind of pleasant to be around, no, I like it better by myself, to tell you the truth. But I understand, not to make light of it, I understand that people are suffering and you want to get back to work. The best way to do that is to socially distance, be patient, wear a mask. In other countries where they've crushed the curve, they were able to get back to work. Pop may be heading out of San Antonio. Where might he land, and where's the best place for him to land? Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Making Moves is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to LinkedIn.com/sports.
Coming up on Wednesday, will Luka be even better in the sequel, or will Kawhi's empire strike back in Game 5? And will the Force continue to be with Donovan Mitchell? Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, Wednesday, 6 Eastern, ESPN Radio, ESPN News.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, and SiriusXM Channel 80, and your smart speaker, presented by Progressive Insurance. Reach us at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Okay, so the Nets want Popovich. They figure no more Tim Duncan. They didn't make the playoffs. He's over 70 years old. Maybe he'll make a switch. And could they use Popovich? Yeah, of course. Although the Nets are a well-coached team already and have been for several years. But I think there's got to be some nervousness about Kyrie's effect on the chemistry and in the locker room. The fact of the matter about Kyrie is, as a professional, with the exception of the time he played LeBron James, his teams have been better without him, which is hard to imagine because he's the most skillful player, I think, ever. Certainly on a short list. Probably has the best handles ever, or in the conversation. Is a great outside shooter. Is probably the best finisher under the rim in the paint of all time. Now, he may not have the wisdom to know when, you know, which tool to use and when, as well as some other guys, but he has all the tools. He has all the skills on offense. And he's capable of playing defense when he wants. In high leverage moments, I've seen him do it. How could a team get better without him? He's a chemistry disruptor. I don't care what anyone says. I mean, it's at this point, there's too much evidence. You get a guy like Popovich in there. Also, I know KD is on the team, but in terms of personality, from what I've seen, I think Kyrie is more alpha than KD. I think KD is obviously better, but KD and Westbrook, I know they were very young at first when they had Harden and Ibaka, but they were somehow less than the sum of their parts, I used to feel, KD and Westbrook, because Westbrook was the alpha, but KD was the better player. It works better when the better player is also the alpha. It's one of the problems with the chemistry on the Heat that first year, where it was Wade's team still, but LeBron was clearly better. Doesn't work as well as, say, the Chicago Bulls. Jordan's the best, and it's his team, and Pippen is his co-pilot, is his second banana. So that could be a problem. It could be a problem. They have some nice young players. Look at Caris LeVert. Some nice young players on that team. And you don't want, like, they got to get the coach right. And Popovich, obviously, has, you know, impeccable credentials. And will bring a like the right kind of culture to the Nets, I think, that maybe they could work. So I get the argument for the Nets, but actually there's another team in the Eastern Conference I think that could use him more, that may be a better fit, and that's the Sixers. You know, the Sixers have, the GMing has been bad, but they have Embiid and Simmons, and these are two special talents, and they're still ascending. They're still young. And what I saw from Simmons, whatever you want to say about his shooting, and by the way, what you really look for in shooting is free throw percentage. Is that improving? Because if that does, then you have hope for three-point percentage, which Simmons doesn't take any. It doesn't matter yet. And the answer is yes, slowly but surely, Simmons' free throw percentage has gone up every year. Still not a good free throw shooter, but there's hope that he can become a better shooter, I think, based on that trend. And the fact of the matter is he turned himself into the best defensive player on earth this year. So he's willing to put in the work, he's willing to do the dirty work, and he's willing to learn and grow, right? Popovich gets a guy like that, his hands on a guy like Ben Simmons, and you got Embiid on the team? Now just get the pieces right. And what we've seen from a Popovich-led franchise is they not only identify talent internationally and in the draft, but then they coach it up. They develop the talent. I think he'd be an even better fit with the Sixers. Now, I have it from the highest basketball authority when it comes to this stuff that there's no chance Popovich is leaving the Spurs. So I fooled you into listening to a radio segment that's all rumor and gossip. Ha ha ha. It's fun to talk about, though. And by the way, it's being reported. Who knows? Like, at first, there's no chance. There's no chance that something happens. And then someone writes a check with enough zeros, and suddenly there's a chance. Right? Everyone has a price for almost anything. Some people's prices are just much higher. Yes, Raj?
Speaking of that last statement, you know a little something about that.
Why? What did I do? What do I know? About listen, Raj, I resemble that remark, number one. And number two, I have often said that I believe that if an employer gives you an opportunity, that shows belief in you and you should reciprocate that belief with loyalty. And that's why I've often said throughout my career that, like here at ESPN or anywhere, that I'll never go anywhere for any reason because of the loyalty, I think, needs to be reciprocated. You know, unless anyone anywhere offers me half a red halfpenny more, then I'm out the door. But barring that, I believe in those kind of principles, Raj, so I don't know what you're talking about. Jonathan in Queens, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max, thanks for taking the call. You got very Jewish-like tendencies, and I guess I'm allowed to say that because I'm Jewish. But I want to ask you two things. First of all, how concerning is it for Dallas fans, and I'm a Knicks fan, so I'm not trying to rub anything in here, but how concerning is it for Dallas fans that Porzingis is missing his second playoff game in a row? And I also wanted to touch up on that OKC-Houston series. It's getting very good. It was my most looking forward to. I was looking forward to this one the most, and it's really starting to get good now, so I wanted to hear your take on it. And
ask the two questions succinctly again. What are the two questions you want to answer, Jonathan?
Okay, so first I want to know, do you think that there's any sort of like a... Should we be more alarmed about Kristaps Porzingis' missing his second playoff game in a row now?
Yes, I mean, Porzingis, and I've communicated with someone who works for the Mavericks and communicated the idea around the time of the trade that, like, what a fleecing of the Knicks. You guys are going to win championships, at least one with Porzingis and Luka. And they expressed to me maybe, but there's real concern about Porzingis' health long term. And anytime you have a giant, you got a guy 7'3", you got to be worried about that, but particularly coming off traumatic injury. So yes, I think Porzingis is the only thing that's going to stop Dallas from winning a championship with a Luka-led team eventually is Porzingis' health. And even then, maybe they'd have a shot. But certainly it's much harder if Porzingis isn't healthy. What's the second question?
For sure. Okay, so I'm gonna do it again with Dallas. So I heard yesterday they were trying to squeeze Luka actually into the top 10. I think Alan Hahn had Westbrook ahead of him. You clearly have Luka in the top 10. Do you have him in the top 5 right now?
Yeah, and the way he's playing in the bubble, like in high leverage moments so far, yeah. The problem with Luka is he doesn't play defense. You know, when people are comparing him, is he Magic or is he Bird? Well, he shoots a lot from deep more than Magic. Proportionally for his era, more like Bird, but Bird shot it better proportionally for his era. But he's not the defender Bird was. On defense, he's more like Magic, especially early on, than Bird, who was a good defender. So he doesn't play defense, and yet sometimes a guy does so much on the other end of the floor. It's not that it doesn't matter. It's that it doesn't stop him from being a top five player. In the bubble so far, he is. He's certainly top 10. I mean, obviously, Luka's a top 10 player. And if you lined them all up and said, okay, who do you want? You'd probably take him in the top five at this point. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. How many seconds do I have left? Chiney and Golic Jr. are coming right up, and I'll be back tomorrow, 2 p.m. Eastern. Poof!
Coming up on Wednesday, will Luka be even better in the sequel, or will Kawhi's empire strike back in Game 5? And will the Force continue to be with Donovan Mitchell? Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, Wednesday, 6 Eastern, ESPN Radio, ESPN News.